Turn with me to Exodus chapter 23. This morning, the entry into Jerusalem on the donkey, and four parts to that message. And tonight, a sequel, not that particular story, but Barabbas. Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. So, Exodus 23, verse 2, just for an orientation for the message. You shall not follow a multitude to do evil. Has anybody here gotten into a group and, you know, what happened? Not good? Okay. You shall not follow a multitude. There's something about groups of people that you didn't need to realize that it can happen, that the group has a direction. It has a direction. So you cannot follow that group. Neither shall you speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Wow, that's King James language, huh? You know, we have to be just. God is just, right? God is righteous, and we have to seek that in our hearts, and it will help us. And that's what we're exercised in as born again believers in the Spirit. And in the Word and in our fellowship, we are looking for God's heart and mind. And in the morning message, we said when they put Jesus on the donkey and the donkey received him, we said that this morning, that the donkey didn't say, get off me, you know, get off me, but the kingdom of God sat on him, and the Spirit of God and the peace of God was on that donkey that had never been ridden before. And you can look it up how animals don't like it when you ride on them. They have to be they have to be broken. Okay, so this is a picture of how Jesus and his kingdom and the authority that was present as he goes into Jerusalem is the Spirit of God. And the people that were waving the palm branches were people that were under the influence of the Spirit. And they worshiped him, and they were singing, they were shouting Psalm 118, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to God in the highest." The king is here. They knew that. And that group was different from the other group that was planning to kill him. And we read that in John 11 and other scriptures. They were planning and plotting, and they knew they had to get rid of him. So we can err by being with the wrong group. And I want you to think about that tonight. That'll be our message. So turn to your neighbor and just say, what group are you with? I want to know. I want real answers. Hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the assembly, the dedication of the actors and actresses, for Ben Munson and Leah and the team, Paul Nye, Scott Dubay, Sebastian, the security, all the activity this week, the conviction, the persuasion, the play itself to speak to hearts. Lord, use it as your tool and do something, Lord, on the earth that only heaven can do. Only God could do this. Only God can save a soul. Only God could forgive sin. Only you, God, can save and set somebody on the highway of holiness. Only you can change a heart and renew a mind, change a life. Only you, God. We are workers and laborers are nothing. It's only you that gives the increase. And please give the increase. And give the increase, Lord, to the seed that's sown in the heart. We will sow and sow and sow. But you give the increase, God. We pray as your people tonight. We know what it is. We know what it is to see Christ crucified for us. And do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I could see us having a whole service as a prayer meeting. How about you? Could you see that? I could see that. That would be awesome. Okay, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3 and I'd like to draw your attention to how wrong we can be, how wrong we can be, also how right on we can be, and the value of your mind, the value of your mind and your thinking and your spirit, very valuable. So Galatians, the book of Galatians is written to the churches in the territory of Galatia in present-day Turkey. And they were misled. They were misled by false teaching. And they lost proportion. They lost perspective. And we taught about that this morning. A recap for a moment is an illustration of a preacher who said that he had in the garden a tree that was dying. The tree was sick. The tree was diseased, and how he wanted to save the tree. And he thought about what he could do about it. That was on his mind. And then his child was sick. And when the child got sick, his whole orientation moved from the tree to the child, because he obviously had great value on his child, as we all would do that. But he says that, like, insanity is when you lose your perspective or proportion for what is important. And I like that picture because our life is filled with this. We get adjusted. We get occupied with a trivial thing, and we just have to get back in the game and see what's the important thing. I remember watching five-year-olds play soccer, and Pat Lynch knows this well, and Jen, that they are running around in the field, and then there's one of them over picking dandelions, you know. And the other one's walking, watching an airplane fly over, and the ball is, you know, they're not in the game, you know. Right? It can happen as adults where we're lost our way. We are not in the game. We need help. And so we help each other. But the Galatians, they lost it. And so he writes this epistle to them. And he calls them foolish in chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That's a strong word, like satanic witchcraft, bewitching, deceiving, losing your orientation, coming under the influence of something else, not finding God, but being bewitched by a false teacher, by a movement, or by a group of people that's going to cry out, Barabbas, Barabbas, give us Barabbas. And he was a robber. So the verse really is profound. Look at verse 1. It says, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? And here it is. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Now, let's draw attention to this. Where is Galatia? And where is Jerusalem? Where was Christ crucified? In Jerusalem. Were they there? Did they become believers 20 years after Christ was raised from the dead, crucified? Yes, they weren't in the time. They were not in Jerusalem. The Galatians were not there. They weren't saved. They weren't in Jerusalem. So then how could Christ be crucified before their eyes? How can that happen? And it happened to you and me in the year, in the 21st century, the 20th century, whenever you got saved, you saw Christ crucified before your eyes, spiritually. You saw it. That's for me. That's for me. I can't believe it. That's for me. How does this happen? The Holy Spirit does that. It's almost like you're sitting in an auditorium, whether it's in a small church like Charles Spurgeon. I think there were 5 people in the church when he was 16 years old, and the preacher wasn't there. An elder preached. It was a snowstorm, and Charles Spurgeon tells the story that it was God was speaking to him. And it was a very simple message. I think it was, look at him, look at him. And Charles Spurgeon is affected by the anointing of God and the Spirit that was calling him as a young man. And he knew. When you leave a meeting like that, whether it's a small meeting or Billy Graham with 50,000 people, but it's you and God. He said to the Galatians, this is how you got saved. You saw that Christ was crucified for you. In your place, he substituted himself for you. You are saved by grace. You saw it, you believed it. That happened to you. Galatians, that happened to you. So that's our starting point for the text here. Because when we have that in our life and we are really born of God and we see that, I have a piece here. It says, this is profound, the single overwhelming fact of history is that the crucifixion is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more. There is no military battle, no geographical exploration. no scientific discovery, no literary creation, no artistic achievement, no moral heroism that compares with it. It is unique, it is massive, monumental, unprecedented, and unparalleled. The cross of Christ is not a small secret that may or may not get out. The cross of Christ is not a minor incident in the political history of the first century that is a nice illustration of courage. It is the center. In your life, there's been never anything more profound and important than the crucifixion of Christ. And when you see that, you say in your heart, everything comes off of that. Everything relates to that. That's the beginning of my new life. So now when he writes to the Galatians and he's saying, he's correcting them, he's saying, oh, foolish Galatians, how did this happen? You go from something great to something minor. You go from something incredible, life-changing, our sins forgiven, standing in grace, called by his name, indwelt by the Spirit, to something very minor and something very simple and something very petty and something very little. It'd be kind of like a guy learning calculus and then he goes back to counting on his fingers. It's like somebody that has seen something incredible and then he goes back to the law or circumcision. And he says, you know you need to be circumcised, you know? You need that, right? Now, I know this is incredibly profound that we've been born of God, born of the Spirit of God, and God is our Father. And circumcision is not important, and keeping the law is not primary. The cross is the gift of God, the Christ, the answer. So you can see that in my life, I can gravitate to things and have a wrong proportion for them. Like, that's important. And the Lord said, no, that's not important. This is important, love. No, this is important, money. God said, no, that's not important, people. Is important. No, the program. And God said, no, not the program. Faith, vision, mission, love, forgiveness, prayer, grace, the person of Christ. That's important. So he corrects them by asking them certain questions here. And there's only a couple I want you to take note of. And these are like x-ray questions for your heart and your mind. And I like that picture. Maybe that's all that the message is tonight. It is, thank God that he will ask us questions that will search our hearts. Thank God that God will speak to our hearts. Thank God that we can sit in the church and ask God before the church service or during the week, Lord, speak to my heart and lead me in my heart, because I want to have I want to have the right context for my life. Because to be honest, Lord, I'm worried. I'm worried about things. Help me have the right context and tell me not to worry. Renew my mind. And help me understand and how important the mind is. Look at verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law. Now we should put the brakes on there. That sounds like Paul's a Pentecostal. And I love it. I love the Pentecostals. I think they have a great message. I think that Paul's a Pentecostal preacher right there. Yes, I'm going to ask you a question. This is only what I like to know. Did you receive the Spirit by the teaching of the law? Or did you receive the Spirit? Now, look at that. Isn't that great language? Did you receive the Spirit? Now, that means, you can put in there, did you receive the life of Christ? Did you get the love of God? Did you get the freedom that comes from Christ? Did you receive that? When you received it, when did you receive it? When you did receive it, did you get it by keeping the law? Or did you get it by hearing, by faith? Now, some of you are worried that I'm like Pentecostal. Okay, just back off. Don't worry about it. Just read the scripture. I think it's amazing that he's talking about this. Because really what he's saying, I know you Galatians, I was with you. I saw the Spirit of God move in your life. I saw your liberty. I saw your joy. I saw your love. I saw that you knew Christ and that you saw Christ crucified before your eyes. And of course you were not in Jerusalem and it happened 20 years ago, but you saw it because that's what God does in the ministry. He brings Christ into the heart and mind of people and they go out and saying, I'm after Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Jesus is amazing. He has loved me. He has forgiven me. He put my name on the palm of his hands. He's for me. God is for me. It's the biggest thing that's ever happened in my life. I know that happened to you. And now I'm asking you a question. You're going to counting on your fingers when you have seen the most awesome. And like, did you get the most awesome by the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you get what you got by hearing faith, hearing the word, and believing, and God was ministering to you, and you were increasing in the nature of Christ and increasing, but you've been bewitched, sidetracked. You got off. You're picking dandelions. There's a soccer game going on, and you're picking dandelions over here in the woods. And we lost one of our little people. You know, we lost a Christian. He missed it. He didn't get it. He got misled. And that happens to us. It does, different ways. The burdens of life in the United States of America in the 21st century, the spirit of the world, the way the world operates, what the world is saying, you may be paying too much attention to it. You may be focusing too much on the people crying out, Barabbas, Barabbas. You might be focused on how negative and how bad things are. Excuse me, it can happen to all of us. But in your mind, Jesus is saying, I need you. In your mind and in your heart. I need your heart. I need a worldwide, I need people to care about their neighbor. I need people to care about poor people. Blessed, you know, the poor people are an important part of our society. Mother Teresa said a profound statement about poor people that I always like. She said, you know, about people giving money to the poor people and everything. And she said, you know, people give money, they might give money to the poor, but they don't talk to the poor. They don't talk to the poor. Isn't that a good statement? Who loves them? And what will money do for them? Yes, we can give money, and Jesus did it. By the way, when Judas went out in the Last Supper, when he went out, some of the disciples thought that Jesus had told him to go out and give money to the poor, because it looks like maybe Jesus was in the habit of doing that. like giving money to go give to the poor. Maybe Jesus was in the habit. It looks like it. And I just say, if poor people are not in my world, if poor people are not, I don't care about poor people or people that are different from you or me or however it goes. It's like I got to get my mind right. I got to get my proportions right. God's life isn't about you and I in that natural way. It's something more. You are filled with the Spirit. You have faith in God. You have a mission. You have a message. You have the gospel of God. The poor people need the gospel of God. They need the grace of God. They need the wisdom of God. They need our love, our conversation, and sit with somebody and have a conversation and just talk to them and that kind of thing. I mean, that's evident, I think. Okay, go to verse 2 again. This only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? X-ray question. By the hearing of faith, that's how my life changed. How'd you get in the car to go to the church? I got in the car by faith. How'd you decide to go to a Bible school class? I did it by faith. How did you start to learn to sing when you're not a good singer? I did it by faith. How did you learn to talk to strangers? I don't know. I would have stayed by myself for, yeah, you know, that's a conversation we can have in ourselves. But you, what happened? You started to live by faith, and you became just a normal guy that had love in your heart and freedom in your heart. You walked in the Spirit. You don't need to be occupied with circumcision or the law of Moses. We already been there, done that. That's counting with your fingers. That's already. We know what picking dandelions is. Man, we are in the world where Jesus is saying, "Follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. Follow me, I will use you in the kingdom. Follow me, you will find the joy and the life and the love, and you'll find the word of God as food for you and me." Okay, verse 3. Are you so foolish? You answer, yep. I am. I really am. Paul, you may not believe this, but I am. Help me. Help me. Help me. What a good word that is. Help me. Help me. Do you know, one of the blessings about being here is that you and I would not be thinking this way. We would not be doing this tonight. We would be very far away from doing this. Our neighbors, they don't understand us. Where are they going? Going to the church again. What are they doing? They're going to the church. I thought they went last week. Yeah, they went. They're going again. Like, they don't. Okay. We would not be here. We would not be doing this. There's one thing, proportion. Proportion. We found he was crucified for me. We found he is for me, not against me. We found that he cares about people. We found that he answers prayer. We found that actually Argentina isn't that far away from here. And actually, nor is China. We actually found that actually there are people there waiting to hear the gospel. We found that. And we found that God will heal a human body like he did in the gospels. We found that God can answer prayer. We found that God raises up disciples and starts Bible schools, and you know the whole story. But I'm trying to say that we have found another way that isn't the natural way, but it's by faith. And the proportion of value and the identification of value with what we're doing is important to us. Let me read a paragraph here. It says, I think I have it. This is from Eugene Peterson in a book called Traveling Light. Paul determined to do everything he can to develop a sense of sanity in his congregations. He detects elements of craziness in the Galatians. There's nothing worse than religion in which appearances are out of touch with reality. Twice he calls attention to their foolishness in following this false teaching. Paul demands that they think about their position, and in particular their response to the sign of circumcision. Paul shows himself here to be a relentless interrogator, putting questions to them. Our minds, unused, become captive to appearances. Okay, here comes the end of the sermon, but that last sentence, I'm going to repeat it. Our minds, if they're unused, they become captive to appearances. Like a Jew, it appears that I am attracted to appearances. He is an Orthodox Jew, for example. I am attracted to appearances. It looks like he's a righteous man. I'm attracted to appearances, like praying in public or giving money, making sure my name is recorded. I'm attracted to appearances. I'm attracted to how people perceive, but it's because my mind is empty. I think that's it. He does say it that way. Our minds unused. Unused. Our minds unused. That's beautiful. Have your mind meditating on this and have the content, then you're not attracted to the appearances. But in that way, you are more attracted to the deeper things. What is Jesus saying? What is God doing? What is God doing? I may not see it, but what is God doing? What is God doing? Now, Jesus is riding the donkey into the city, and the city is against him. But he's riding the donkey, and God is with him. And God is with him. That's the dynamic of it. I am on the right side of this. I get it. I see what God is here. And in the text, we said it this morning, they didn't, at the moment, the disciples didn't really register with them that this is fulfilling Scripture. Zechariah chapter 9, that the Messiah would ride in on a donkey. They didn't get that. And I would like to say in this context that you might be caught up in a multitude of people, that you and I could get caught up in what the people are saying. We could get caught up with running with a group to do evil. And that happened in Jerusalem. And all they had to do, the priests just got the people to say, it's Barabbas, Barabbas, we want Barabbas. And they go through the crowd, Barabbas, Barabbas. That's apparently what happened in the Gospel of John, it's described. And the people are starting, and people maybe could look at each other and say, I don't know about that. No, we want Barabbas. No, we want Barabbas. And then it may be the spirit, the demonic spirits, and the whole movement was that we want Barabbas. And then when they saw, and he was crucified, there's a scripture where it says that when they went to see him, there were people that went to see him, and they were mourning, and they beat their breasts for what happened. And we don't know what it means. We don't know exactly what they were thinking, how they were processing it. They could be just saying, I was part of this. I shouldn't have done it. That man was a good man. I don't know what he did wrong. I don't know how this is. How did I get here? And everybody went to their own house. And the results were not good. And there was grieving and sadness and sorrow because That's the way the devil works in this world. Can't you see it on the news all the time? There's like so many bad things that happen with no solution. There's so much bad news. There's so many people, figuratively, not literally, but they're on a cross and they shouldn't be there. They go to prison. They shouldn't go to prison. They're accused of something and it shouldn't happen. There are so many people that are promoted that are evil people. There are so many people that get away with murder. There are so many. It's kind of like the human race, like we beat our breasts, but we don't know what to do about it. We have no answer. We have no mind with the context that is so healthy for us. Our context is a real one, and it fills our hearts and our minds. We are satisfied, and we are with the donkey and the Lord, and we're waving palm branches. And then 3 days later, after the tragedy, he's raised from the dead, and he's saying, I crush the devil's head. I overcome evil. I am the answer for your life. Follow me, but keep the proportions right. Seek me first with all your heart. Seek first the kingdom of God. God, I will take care of you. And have the proportions right. Realize the church is important. That's something that the world doesn't know about, but we know about it. Our prayers are important. God is in our presence. God speaks to our hearts. God teaches us some things that are important for our families. Like our kids need mom and dad to be loving, kind, wise, encouraging, gracious, stable. Mom and dad have to be stable. The family is stable as the nucleus is mom and dad, and the kids, like little planets, revolve around the nucleus, and they go, well, mom and dad love each other. I don't know about it. I don't love you, but mom and dad love each other, and maybe I could learn that. You know, one brother says to the other brother, making it up. Okay. Revenge, it's a small world. Forgiveness is a great one. Have it in proportion. Faith is amazing. Faith does a lot for us. Unbelief shrinks our life. And we get it wrong. We get it wrong. So so they cried out Barabbas. Pilate tried to get them. Pilate tried to get Jesus to go free, but they didn't want Jesus to go free. They crucified him, and they said, we want Barabbas. And I wonder whatever happened to him, whatever happened to Barabbas. I don't know, but Jesus died for the saved and the unsaved. And if Barabbas never got saved, he was saved physically by Christ, but the great gift is to be saved eternally by Christ. But Christ died for him too. And we are in the world knowing how these things go a little bit and how unfair and how wrong it can be. But it's okay because God put us here to understand these things and live with them and know about it. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Sometimes, Lord, sometimes we are consumed with ourselves and we get bewitched by the smallness of our own lives. The things we stumble over, worry about, but the joy of being in you, with you, walking with you and to somehow get it right. Not absolutely, not perfectly, not all the time, not every day, not all the time, but more or less, we get recalibrated and we go, okay, knock that off. That's not in my life anymore. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say this. I started to preach in the prayer, but I hit a point that I think is a good one. No, not my, no, I'm not doing that. Not, no, that's vanity. That's a dead end. No, I'm not doing that. That thing, I'm getting rid of it. I'm getting rid of that thing. No, that's not in my life. I don't care about that. I found something better. I got it more. I got something better. No, not doing it. Not doing it. You got to get tough with yourself. Come on. You got to get tough with yourself in your mind and in your heart and have a filter and just say, deny yourself. Just deny yourself. Just say, no, I'm not. I don't want to be bewitched into pursuing some stupid thing that is one time, there's a hook in there, there's bait, and there's just an awesome hook in that thing, and that'll tear me apart. And that's not where, no, I'm not doing that. You get it? Okay, I just had to say that. I mean, that was in my prayer, but I got to say, come on, can you get tough with yourself? Can you deny yourself? Can you knock it off? Can you just shut it down? Shut that stupid thing down and walk with God and watch the Holy Spirit do great things in your life. He will help you and he'll build you up. And you just say, wow, how did I receive the Holy Spirit when I first became a believer? Well, he gives you the Holy Spirit when you believe, but it was so strong that he said to the Galatians, when you receive the Holy Spirit and you that affected you so strongly, did that happen by works or did it happen by faith? It happened by faith. So when you shift to a disproportionate issue, like things that are too important for you, get back to what's important and make that shift and knock it off, cut it off, knock it off. Turn to your neighbor and just say, knock it off. Give them a good shot, you know. Just say, knock it off, okay? Come on. Praise the Lord. All right, let's... okay, wait. All right. Pray with me. This is the prayer. Lord Jesus, our minds, if they are unused, we will be attracted to appearances. We'll be attracted to the things that are not that important in life. We'll be attracted to like what people think, what do people think about me? What do I look like? Those kind of things, or smallness. It will be unused minds. Will be drawn to what the appearances. But your spirit sets us free from ourselves so we can serve the living God on this earth. Thank you for it. And when they cry out, Barabbas, we go, no, I'm not part of that. No, that's not in my life. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, followed him to the cross, and she was not part of that because she knew him. And same with you and me. We know him. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you're not a believer, come to Jesus tonight and say, Jesus, save me. Save me. Have mercy on me. Give me your grace, save me, in Jesus, in your name, and show me who you are and what you have done for me, in Christ's name. Amen.